listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today, our focus is New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners. There are five board members who serve staggered four-year terms. This year, three seats are open. Only one incumbent is running for re-election. Today, we're meeting three of the six candidates. Leslie Cohen and her husband owned and ran a commercial graphics firm for 12 years, designing advertising for Fortune 500 companies. In 2002, Cohen says they transitioned their business to fine art. 7 years ago, the Cohens moved to Wilmington. And 3 years after that, the state legislature passed HB 2, popularly known as the bathroom bill. This was the impetus for their political involvement. In 2018, Leslie Cohen ran for the state house, challenging incumbent Holly Grange. Cohen lost by about 5 points. New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners is her second bid for public office, and she joins me now. Leslie Cohen, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
The sale of New Hanover Regional Medical Center is not technically a done deal, but building the power structures and defining the terms of the agreement are underway. You say on your website that you support Save Our Hospital. What does your position mean at this stage of the game if you were to win a seat?
It's very hard to know exactly where we're going to be in December when the new board takes over. So my expectation is that the sale will be decided at that point. If it's not, then we're in a completely different situation and we don't really know what that will mean, what that situation is. But right now I'm very concerned about the setup of the foundation and how the money will be handled. It seems just innately wrong to me the way it was initially proposed, that Novant would appoint six of the 11 members to the foundation board, because that means that the group that bought the hospital has more say in how the funds are spent than the people of New Hanover County. And I'm not sure about the legality of that, but just innately, that doesn't feel right. It's as if I sold my house and then I'm going to tell, or the person that I sold it to is going to tell me how I can spend the money from, you know, what kind of house I can buy with the money you paid me to buy my house. That seems just wrong. So I'm very uncomfortable with that. And I'm also very uncomfortable with the idea behind that, because what they're trying to do is free up options for how that money can be invested, which on the face sounds good, but what that really means
you're talking about tens of millions of dollars in return on investment.
We're talking about hundreds of millions, you know, $1.25 billion.
Right, but I mean the difference in return on investment,
exactly,
between how this is, you know, if this is structured where it has to be overseen by a local government commission versus a little more freedom. So
potentially, yes, but we're also looking at whether the level of risk for those investments. And if you think back to the 90s, when so many people lost their entire retirements because of risky investments. And we are in a point in history where there's going to be some tumultuous economic times coming up between everything that's happened in Washington over the last 4 years and COVID, and you know, we're due for a downturn. Everything says the next 5 to 10 years are not gonna be great times for Wall Street. And this is not a good time to put our money at risk. So, you know, inevitably, higher return means higher risk. And we need to be able to balance that. And we need oversight. And we also need oversight for the possibility of corruption. I'm sure that is not what anybody has in mind. I don't want to accuse anyone of anything. But we're talking about human beings, and we're talking about a lot of money, and there is a lot of opportunity for that now and in the future. And I want to protect these funds because this really can be a great thing for our county in terms of the foundation and the funds, but we have to protect that. And I think we need to be very, very careful in how we move forward with it.
The Board of Education and the school district have seen a tumultuous few years with the resignations Yes. of superintendents, deputy superintendent, school district attorney, most recently the board chair stepping away. What is wrong with this school district, and how can a new Hanover County commissioner influence this body?
Well, a lot of the school board acts independently. So it's all about our relationships with them. And, you know, my understanding is even through the bad times, there has been a good working relationship between the county commission and the Board of Education. There is a lot of hard work ahead. There is a lot of repair that needs to be done. There is trust that needs to be earned. And I truly hope that the Board of Education is able to do that and get our school system back on the right track and protect our students. As a county commissioner, I will do whatever I can to support that mission and to support transparency. And that is a huge part of my message and my plans for county commission. And it is my hope that the Board of Education will embrace that too, because as terrible as the things that have happened to some of our students and the accusations that have been made, as horrible as all of those things are, the cover up and the loss of transparency and trust is the real crime, because we could fix the other problems. We can protect our students, but we can't do it unless we're honest and open about what's going on in our schools.
Where do you think that failure was?
I think that it is an entire environment of a culture of secrecy. And I think it was top down. And I think the resignations are a good thing. And I'm hopeful with the new people in place that things are going to get better, and time will tell. But it's just frustrating to watch. And there were failures at all levels. And go ahead.
You were saying that transparency is a big part of what you're campaigning on, your platform. What are some other ways that county business could be more open and transparent?
Right now, having the county commission meetings, having half of them at 4 p.m. is a real problem. My first move will be to ask that those be moved to 6 o'clock. So that more people can be involved. Also, I think it was about a year ago, they canceled the agenda meetings. And that was in some twisted way supposed to be more transparent, because those were not public meetings. But what it means is our commissioners are less informed and our county staff has less opportunity for input. So I want to reschedule those and televise them, because my understanding is it's literally a flip of a switch to put those up, at least on the web, so people can see exactly what's going on. I also will have an open door policy. It will be difficult in COVID, but as we are opening up more, I wanna have town hall meetings and have more opportunities for the public to interact with the commission.
What is your view right now in 2020 of the partisan divide, which I think is arguably visible in local government? Are we now in an era when each major party's best strategy is just to get a majority to crush the other side? Is there any value for you in ideas coming from a commissioner with a different party affiliation?
I think we need a wide range of ideas and input. And when our democracy is healthy and working well, we have that. And we have not these extremes on either side. And I look forward to working across the aisle. I don't know what the makeup of the commission will be, obviously, but I also have every intention of working with Pender and Brunswick County commissions, and because we have to have a regional approach to our problems. So certainly I'm going to be working with people from across the aisle, and I'm going to be representing people who don't share my political ideology. And I welcome their input because I do represent them and I do want what's best with them. And I want them to feel heard and represented.
The city of Wilmington has approved the Rise Together initiative to foster equity, diversity, civic inclusion. What is the work that you believe this area, whether city or county, has to do on racial reconciliation?
Oh my goodness, we don't have time for this. This is such a huge, huge issue, and it's so important. And we are at such a critical point in the history of this country right now to address this. We are having conversations that I didn't expect that we would be able to have. The fact that the Confederate statues are coming down, we're having real conversations about police reform. We're having real conversations about reparations. We're having real conversations about systemic racism. And I'm excited by that. And I'm excited to be a part of that. And I don't know exactly what all of that work is going to look like, but it's an amazing thing that even the conversations are having, and it's time to follow that up with some action. And I want to be a part of that.
There is a pretty large sector of the population, white people, who think that this is getting out of hand. People are losing their minds. Cancel culture is taking over. What would you say to those folks who say when you take down the Confederate monuments or you change the name of a park like Hugh McCrae Park to Longleaf Park, you are trying to erase history?
Well, I didn't learn my history from statues or park names. I took classes, I read books, I go to museums, and I think there are places for that. And I think we need to put all of these things into context, because let's face it, most of these statues did not go up during the Civil War. They went up during Jim Crow, during Reconstruction, and there was a specific message that they were trying to send. And I think we need to put that into perspective. So I would completely support creating a museum. We could put it in Longleaf Park and have the history of racial relations and racial tension in New Hanover County and talk about who these people were, the good and the bad. I mean, racism, you know, racism is not a person, it's an attitude. And each of these people had things that they contributed and ways in which they damaged our community. And I am completely open to looking at both sides of that.
Scientists tell us climate change is impacting the Cape Fear region, most obviously in the form of more frequent and more serious flooding from the Cape Fear River. Do you think local governments should be developing a plan for dealing with climate change? And if so, what should that plan look like?
I think we need those plans at every level of government. And I think working on ways that we as a county can lower our carbon footprint and lower our emissions, and also to draw green businesses to our area. We are in a great location for solar and wind power. We should be looking at these technologies as a way not only to decrease our carbon footprint, but to build our economy.
How satisfied are you with the state legislature's handling of the water quality issue 3 years after we learned about Gen X? Still in the water supply, what needs to happen?
We need to fully fund DEQ. We need to give them what they need. I have been screaming this since 2018. The legislature has given lip service to this, and very little has actually gotten done. And it's incredibly frustrating, and it's one of the reasons I was incredibly frustrated when the lines were redrawn and I could not run again for seat 20. But, you know, there's a lot of work to be done at the county level too.
And should CFPUA be more involved in some of this work than it has been?
I think CFPUA is doing everything that they can. it shouldn't be on CFPUA to pay for this and ultimately us. It should come from the polluters. We need to hold the polluters accountable, and we need to use every tool in the toolbox to do that.
You are listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. Leslie Cohen, candidate for New Hanover County's Board of Commissioners, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
When we come back from the short break, we'll meet Dr. Kyle Horton. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.